WXC Akron 90.7 FM.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we will hear from Julie Kuntz and Raya Bridges from the Flying Deer Nature Center in East Chatham about their new program for trans, non-binary, and genderqueer youth ages 11 through 16. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-I's into here's how you can's. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Elizabeth Powell Leather Items of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. Michael DeMasi is reporting for Albany Business Review that Hudson Development Corporation's sale of the former Kaz Incorporated warehouse located in Hudson's First Ward was finally closed on March 4th. The former manufacturing site sold for $3 million to South Front Street Holdings, LLC, according to Branda Maholtz, HDC Executive Director. The transaction included three parcels totaling 4.5 acres and are located at 72 South Front Street, 14 Montgomery Street, and 17 Montgomery Street. The land is one of the last remaining developable parcels in the city, Maholtz said. Officials have tried for years to get the site redeveloped after CAS, the maker of humidifiers, air purifiers, and other products, closed the manufacturing facility in 2008, putting more than 300 people out of work. Median home prices in Columbia County have recently increased sharply, rising nearly 55% from 2017 to 2021 to $379,000, according to Hudson Valley Pattern for Progress. Columbia County has recorded the fourth fastest growing growth rate among the nine counties of the lower Hudson Valley. The details for what will become of the former CAS site are unknown. A $470,160 grant awarded from the state's Downtown Revitalization Initiative will help defray the cost of tearing down an old warehouse to create a mixed-use development. Ben Fain, who owns real estate and describes himself online as an artist and entrepreneur, signed the deed on behalf of South Front Street Holdings, LLC. He declined to comment on his plans for the property. Holtz described Fain as an ambitious person who's willing to listen to others. F. Michael Tucker, the president and CEO of Columbia Economic Development Corporation, worked with the HDC to sell the property. He said, quote, "We are excited about the transformational opportunity for redevelopment of Hudson's historic waterfront," unquote. Read more about this story at the Albany Business Review.
Andrea Mako is reporting for Porcupine Soup that Richard Armadorn, a Republican from Rensselaerville, will challenge Democratic State Senator Michelle Hinchey to a rematch in November. Hinchey beat Armadorn by more than 3,000 votes in 2020 in the 46th district election. But now the district boundaries have changed, as has the name, now the 48th district. In 2020, the district included all of Montgomery and Greene counties, along with parts of Albany, Schenectady, and Ulster counties. The new district includes Ulster and Greene counties and parts of Albany and Columbia counties. Amador said, and I quote, "There is no question our state is moving in the wrong direction. This district and our state need a common sense voice that will help lead New York State back in the right direction and stand up against the radical, unaffordable policies coming from Albany politicians," end quote. Amador is a U.S. Army veteran, retired New York State trooper, and used to be on the town of Rensselaerville's planning board. He now runs a small family farm. Amador said, and I quote, "One-party rule has been a disaster for New Yorkers. It's time to restore checks and balances in our government. We need to stop increasing taxes, particularly when inflation is at levels not seen in decades and our economy is still struggling to recover from the COVID-19 pandemic," end quote. Hinchey has announced she will run again. Hinchey said, and I quote, "I ran for office to be an advocate for our upstate communities, making sure our issues are reflected at the table. I am proud that over my first 2 years in office, I have been able to deliver on that promise and am a strong voice for our upstate communities. In my first year alone, my office and I passed over 30 bills with broad bipartisan support on important issues ranging from expanding health care and broadband access to making agriculture a key partner in the fight against climate change," end quote. Voters will decide who represents the district on November 8th. And you can read the full story at Porcupine Soup.
Mid-Hudson News is reporting that Frontier Airlines announced March 9th the launch of nonstop service between New York Stewart International Airport and Atlanta and Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina. According to the airline, tickets on the routes will be as low as $39. The service to Atlanta is scheduled to take off three times per week beginning May 26th. North Carolina's Research Triangle will be accessed via twice-weekly flights between Stewart and Raleigh-Durham International Airport, also beginning May 26th. Will Evans, Senior Manager of Sales and Distribution for Frontier Airlines, said in a prepared statement, quote, "With the addition of these new routes, we will offer nonstop service to a total of five destinations from New York Stewart International Airport," unquote. Airline executives announced that the introductory fares between Stewart and Atlanta begin at $39 and flights to Raleigh-Durham start at $49. Tickets must be purchased by March 15th to take advantage of the lower introductory prices. Other restrictions and requirements are available on Frontier's website. Frontier already offers Miami and Tampa in Florida. Read more about the story in the Daily Freeman.
Ted Rimsnyder reports for Columbia Green Media that after a 24-year delay and in the midst of a Hudson Valley housing crisis, Cairo officials finally approved the dispersal of $61,860 of funding from a U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development grant in 1998. $50,000 goes to the Cairo Development Foundation and $5,930 apiece to Mountain View Enterprises and Emmy Cross to rehabilitate low-income housing. The $50,000 for the Cairo Development Foundation was approved for dispersal in 2019 to cover the cost of renovations to two residential apartments on 467 Main Street the foundation owns. But then the resolution was pulled and the funds were not dispersed for the past 3 years. Susan True, a member of the Cairo Development Foundation board, said Monday, and I quote, "We're elated to finally get it. Everything's already been spent, and now we can recoup this money for other purposes. That's what it was intended for way back then. They did everything they needed to revamp those two apartments, and they're beautiful. Now we can go forward with other projects," end quote. Mountain View Enterprises and Emmy Cross now have 1 year to use or return the grant money. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Pete DeMola is reporting for the Times Union that New York's annual ban on residential brush burning will begin next week, March 16th, and continue through May 14th. Spring comes with an increased risk of wildfires, and open burning of debris is the single greatest cause of wildfires statewide, according to the State Department of Environmental Conservation. Each year, forest rangers extinguish dozens of wildfires that burn hundreds of acres, the DEC said. Quote, "In addition, local fire departments, many of which are staffed by volunteers, all too often have to leave their jobs and families to respond to wildfires caused by illegal debris fires," unquote, the DEC said in a statement. The state has enforced the ban since 2009 to help prevent wildfires and reduce air pollution. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Joshua Solomon reports in the Times Union that while former Governor Andrew Cuomo won't say whether he's running for office, the state's Board of Elections implies he is. New York's Board of Elections Chief Enforcement Counsel Michael L. Johnson wrote in response to a complaint filed by Good Governments over Cuomo's use of campaign funds since his resignation in August, and I quote, "Although former Governor Cuomo has not announced an explicit plan to run for a specific public office, his conduct fits the definition of candidate set forth in election law," end quote. Cuomo has recently aired television commercials to rehabilitate his image and this week began public appearances after being accused of sexual harassment by 11 women. Cuomo said March 6th after a public appearance, and I quote, "I'm not going anywhere. I said what I said today, and that's all I'm going to say today," end quote. Johnson, who was appointed by Cuomo, said that state election law, and I quote, "does not prohibit a former office holder or anyone else from using campaign funds to test the waters for a future political candidacy," end quote. Cuomo has $16.4 million in campaign funds from his time as governor. Blair Horner, executive director of the New York Public Interest Research Group, said, and I quote, "This isn't right that someone can leave office with a gigantic sum of money and then basically spend it in a campaign of relentless self-promotion," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 47 degrees. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low of around 25. And on Friday, partly sunny with a high near 46 degrees.
And Friday night, rain is likely before 4 a.m. Then rain and snow is likely. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 34 degrees. And that's your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Tune in to WGXC and all sorts of creative community voices on the radio Thursday, March 10th during our WGXC Sustainable Pledge Drive, where we're asking for your help to keep WGXC sustainable part of the media ecology in the Hudson Valley. Go to wgxc.org/donate and make a donation today. Make a sustaining supporter donation today to make WGXC become a sustainable part of your life. On Thursday, we will hear from bassist, multi-instrumentalist, singer-songwriter, and composer Angelique Francis with Cheryl Kay on Situation Fluxus at 10 a.m. on the radio. At noon, it's time for Ear Candy with Brad Monkel from Greenville. He talks with musicians Eric Harland, Aaron Parks, and Matt Brewer about their new album, and also hears from comedian Gianmarco Cerizzi. At 2 p.m., it's March Madness on What's the Frequency Kenneth, the show that mixes brand new music with the news of the past week. 3 p.m., it's time to turn on the news with Russian Transmission. WGXC Afternoon Show is live from Hudson on Thursday with Tom DiPietro and CeCe Graham. And we're live from Philmont with the Philmont Media Project and Heath Iverson with Movies on the Radio at 7 p.m. Live from Toronto with Andrew O'Connor and the Disco 3000 Show at 9 p.m. Live from somewhere in Columbia County with The Magic Stranger, 10 p.m. to midnight on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Niger guitarist Modour Maktour brings his band to the Colony Cafe in Woodstock on Monday, March 21st. Maktour is often compared to Prince and Eddie Van Halen for his renowned guitar playing, mostly on albums on the Sahel Sounds label. But his 2021 album, Afrique Victime, came out on the Matador label. He performs Monday, March 21st at 8 p.m. at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock. Go to the WGXC community calendar online for more information about this and many other local
This is Spike Priggin, host of the Bedazzled Radio Hour here on WGXC. We're in the middle of our 2022 pledge drive. Please think about becoming a sustaining supporter to keep shows like the Bedazzled Radio Hour on the air. Be sure to listen every Wednesday from 12:10 until 2. Call now. 518-697-7400, 518-697-7400, or go to wgxc.org/donate.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, March 10th. There are official reports of snow in. There was 3 inches in Greenville, 4.5 in Acre over by the Wave Farm, 4 inches in Athens, 2.5 in Catskill, 5.8 in Austerlitz, 3.1 in Taconic. Early morning temperatures range from 24 in East Jefferson to 29 in Kingston. Watch out for fog this morning. It could slow things down in spots. Things will feel more spring-like today as temperatures reach 47 degrees by 3 p.m. Cloud cover will be moderate and winds will be light. Overnight temperatures fall to 25 degrees before rebounding to 50 tomorrow afternoon. 34 degrees overnight takes us into a Saturday with a high of only 37 degrees around 9 a.m. Rain will fall all morning and then snow all afternoon as the temperature drops, hitting 28 degrees by sundown. An inch and a half is expected. Sunday will be dry with a high of 35. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 2:24 a.m., then high tide at 8:28 a.m., low tide again at 3:40 p.m., and high tide again at 9:13 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 35 degrees. Sunset today will be at 5:41 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:12 a.m. Looking way up, we see magnetic unrest is expected today due to a glancing coronal mass ejection. Solar wind speed is currently 367 kilometers per second at 5.6 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 15 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2, quiet. The current sunspot number is 89. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate, who are asking for sustaining supporters for WGXE. If you want to help keep the fun radio you love to listen to going, please head on over to WGXE.org, click on Donate, and we thank you for your kindness and consideration.
Hi, folks. Before we begin taping today, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Peter Jenks of the Federal Communications Commission. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Barris. I don't know if any of you are aware of this, but it's a federal offense to make lascivious remarks on a television network broadcast. The penalty for this disgusting behavior is 1 year in prison, or a $10,000 fine, or both. Anyone making a sick, subversive remark tonight will be arrested immediately. I then will personally escort the offender to federal prison for booking under edict number 364. Of the Broadcasting Act of 1963. And it's a long drive to that prison, baby. Just you and me. No witnesses.
Okay, have fun, everybody. All right.
Hi, I'm Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter.
You're listening to WGXC Acre 90.7 FM during the Winter 2022 Sustaining Pledge Drive. Please donate to WGXE to keep Catskill Cabin Getaway and all the other fantastic shows going by visiting wgxe.org/donate or by calling 518-697-7400 to set up your sustaining pledge.
Your help is much appreciated. Thank you.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
I'm joined today by a couple of folks from the Flying Deer Nature Center who are here to tell us about a new program for trans, non-binary, and genderqueer youth called Swallowtail Adventures.
I'm Julie. I use she or they pronouns, and the they is actually kind of new for me. I'm experimenting with that right now.
Oh, interesting.
I'm Ray. I use they, them pronouns.
Welcome, Julie Coons and Ray Bridges. Thanks for joining us. Julie, could I actually ask you about how you're experimenting with she and they? Can you talk about that?
I've identified as female and still do, but I am sort of exploring the non-binary experience within myself right now. And I do feel like the they pronoun is something that I wouldn't necessarily mind people calling or using with me. And I find that there is a part of me that doesn't necessarily identify with either binary as well. So, but it's fluid. Like it sometimes I feel more like she and sometimes I feel more otherwise. So it's kind of important to remember that, I think, with pronouns, that they can change, and they often do.
And Julie, I really appreciated you kind of speaking to that with your own experience of someone might look at Julie and make an assumption, right, based on social norms about what her pronouns are. But it's really about looking past that and seeing just how expansive self-expression and gender really is.
So Ray, do you think there'll come a day when we don't even have to fret over pronouns, when all the pronouns will be gender neutral?
I really hope so. Yeah, I think maybe we'll get to that point once people start looking at their own self-expression. And, you know, we all have masculine and feminine within us. And so I think it's really just about looking at that and owning it all.
Julie, can you set us up with just an introduction to the Flying Deer Nature Center?
Yeah, so the Flying Deer Nature Center is a wilderness school. It's been around for about 25 years. Started off as a small summer camp in someone's backyard and has now expanded to programming for all ages from 4 to 100. The Swallowtail Adventures program specifically has been born out of an obvious need to create space for, you know, gender nonconforming youth. Our mission is to connect people to the earth, to themselves, and to each other. So we create community with all living and non-living things out in nature, but also within our community as humans. And the Rite of Passage program is particularly connected to young people coming of age. So we have a boys and a girls program, and now Swallowtail Adventures is kind of dipping our feet in feeling through this program by offering some Saturdays to do it. But the Rites of Passage programs are a 3-year commitment. So the youth who come to those programs, they'll be mentored into certain challenges. So each year they go through a different kind of experience with their cohort, and they're supported through that and really empowering them to become independent and take on responsibilities and a lot of freedom also, because they do end up spending time by themselves in the woods, either as a group or alone, over the course of 3 years. And then there's like at the end, there's a big graduation, and we kind of send them off into the world, and their parents are supporting all of this. And then there's also other important adults in their lives that are helping support them. So the long-term idea for the Swallowtail Adventures is to create that sort of continuity.
So can you tell me then, why is it important to have a nature-based program specifically for trans, non-binary, and genderqueer kids?
Yeah, I think really one of the really important pieces to it is providing a space where young people can just show up and be authentic. You know, I know from my own experiences as a trans kid, I felt like I had to, and you spoke to it, Kathy, had to fit into the social norms and what people expected me to be and what I was expected to adhere to. And really with the Swallowtail program, we're trying to steer away from that. So we're really trying to offer a space where young people can really just be authentic, where they can, you know, dress however they want, they can change their pronouns any day. And all of that is not only accepted, but it's welcomed and encouraged. And also representation. You know, I think for young people really being able to see two instructors who've gone through their lives and who've navigated gender and coming out, I think it's really important for young people to see that, to know that they're not alone in that journey. And also that it's possible to be an adult and be living, you know, in an authentic way and really able to like navigate that gender journey. And so that feels really important. And I'm really, you know, looking forward to what'll come from it.
But when nobody has to pass, when nobody has to hide, then there's a whole different energy out there in our world. And people are able to make their fullest contributions from whatever perspective they happen to occupy. So you must be really excited to start this. This is the first year you guys are going to have it, right?
Yeah.
Wow. So how many kids do you expect?
As of right now, I think we're expecting like 8 to 10 young people.
Oh my goodness. This is going to be quite an experience for all of you. I imagine you and Quinn expect to learn a few things yourselves.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the things I think I love about being around young trans and non-binary kids is that they're experiencing their journey from a whole different perspective than what I experienced, you know, 6, 7 years ago. And so it's really like, I know that they will teach me so much about not just their own journeys, but about my own journey as well.
I'm glad you mentioned your own journey. And I wonder, I imagine that a program like this would have been enormously beneficial to you as you went through that journey. Can you talk about how?
Yeah, I was thinking about it, and Quinn and I were talking about this, and we were both just like, wow, you know, had there been an opportunity not just to get out into nature with other trans and non-binary kids, but to really be in a community that's really supportive of that journey, it really would have been life-changing for me, you know? And like I spoke to earlier, I would have felt much less alone in my journey, knowing that there were adults, you know, that I could look up to and ask questions and be around other young people that I could talk to about their lived experiences and have some solidarity in that. It really would have been life-changing. And so I feel excited to be in this space because it's also, you know, nurturing some parts of my own inner child that didn't get to have a safe space when I was young. So
that's right. It's never too late to one can retroactively go in and lay in some affirmation that may have been missing at some of the most critical time. Day, what's your hope for these kids attending this program and non-binary kids in the future?
Yeah, Quinn and I have been talking a lot about this, and really our main intention for this program is to provide a safe space where young people can really stand in their authenticity with confidence, and to feel seen and heard in that experience, and to also really challenge social norms and expectations that they feel like they have to adhere to, and really encouraging them to step outside of that. You know, I think in a lot of ways, you know, someone who was raised and socialized female or feminine, you know, maybe not won't feel like they can grab a folding saw and, you know, cut up some branches and, you know, use a hatchet to start a fire. But those are the things that we really want to encourage, is like, these skills and these wilderness skills and this knowledge is not, it's not determined by your gender, and everyone can learn these things and everyone can expand on what they know and really, yeah, dismantle and deconstruct the expectations of social norms.
I imagine you have already seen through Flying Deer the ripple effects in the community of the work you do.
Yeah, I love that you brought in the ripple effect, because that's been a huge piece that, you know, we've been speaking about this program, is really like what we've spoken to earlier, you know, normalizing the experience, normalizing talking about pronouns, and to a point where it doesn't have to be such a big thing. And I think a lot of it is really educating other people, you know, educating others about the importance of this space, but also how normal it actually is, you know, how many young people are actually experiencing their lives through a trans and non-binary experience. And one thing I really wanted to bring in that Quinn shared was that, you know, their hope is that one day there will be no coming out, because it'll be so normal, it won't seem like this huge thing that you have to do. Like, it would just be like, hey, yeah, I use they, them pronouns. Awesome. You know? And so I think that's really one of the biggest things, is really being able to normalize the experience.
Swallowtail Adventures is for youth ages 11 to 16. It's happening right now, just 4 Saturdays, March 12th, April 9th, May 7th, which will be a field trip, and June 18th. And the hours are 10 to 4 p.m. each day.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Which brings me to this appropriate moment to discuss an ongoing effort here at WGXC. You know, what we want to do is eventually have monthly dedicated support of $5,000 made up of many sustaining supporters who make contributions, which at this point average around $14 a month. If we could get to that $5,000 a month number, we would have very few pledge drives in the future. And pledge drives, well, I don't mind them that much, but they can be a little dispiriting. And, you know, in some of the early days, we were downright desperate as we fought to stay alive as a radio station. Well, we're near number 9, so I think we're here for good. But it doesn't happen on its own. It needs your constant support. You can't just say, oh, hey, I helped it in those early years. I gave some money back then. Yeah, you did probably, but it doesn't work like that. You got to continue. You got to become what we call a sustaining supporter. How do you do that? Well, it's pretty easy. You go to wgxc.org, hit the donate button, excuse me, and it'll set you up to make your monthly contribution. It's easy. Comes out of your credit card. You barely know it's there, unless, of course, you have little money left on your credit card, which happens. But, you know, they'll check in with you, make sure you still want to do it. And then you don't have to worry. During a pledge drive, you can say to yourself, ha, I've already given to WGXC. Ha! They're not talking to me in this pledge drive. They're talking to all those other freeloaders who haven't given any money recently. And that's the nature of the game. You can be an ardent listener and still be a freeloader, which is, you know, that's up to you and your own moral compass. But really, if you're listening to this show, if you're listening to any show on the station, you should feel at least a slight impulse to contribute in some fashion to this station. And, you know, there's no telling who you'll hear next over the airwaves here at WGXC. We're constantly adding new shows. We're constantly soliciting people to create new shows to fill in the daily slots of the morning show and the afternoon show. This is one of the slots of the afternoon show. There are a couple up for grabs right now since people are moving on and all kinds of things happen. Everybody gets a chance here. I mean, it's not hard to get on the air here. The rules aren't too difficult. The skills are pretty simple. And the next thing you know, you can have a show.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The prospect of fighter jets at the disposal of the United States government departing from a U.S. NATO base in Germany to fly into airspace contested with Russia over Ukraine raises some serious concerns for the entire NATO alliance.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken spoke about the administration rejecting Poland's offer to transfer Russian-made fighter jets to the U.S. to replenish Ukraine's air forces. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki acknowledged logistical issues with providing Ukraine security aid.
How do you get planes into Ukraine in a way that is not escalatory? And what are the logistics and operational details of that? Those are conversations are happening between counterparts at the military.
At least 516 civilians have been killed in Ukraine since the start of Russia's invasion, the Office of the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights reported. A bill moving through Congress would funnel $13.6 billion toward military and humanitarian aid in Ukraine. Lawmakers are expected to pass the legislation this week, as well as a spending package to fund the government for the next 8 months and avoid a shutdown. Universal free meals at schools are slated to end this summer, after a provision to extend temporary pandemic programs was not included. Oil prices tumbled Wednesday when a United Arab Emirates official urged an OPEC production increase, explained Antonia Juhas, author of The Tyranny of Oil, the world's most powerful industry.
The reality is right now, the expectation is that there will be a reduction in supply of Russian oil on the global market, of Russian natural gas, because Putin has already been using the supply of natural gas as a tool against Europe.
The U.S. imported more than 245 million barrels of oil from Russia last year, according to government data. Natural Resources Defense Council's Strategic Engagement Director, Bob Deans, says experts have advocated for the U.S. to reduce its reliance on oil for years.
The oil industry has done everything it possibly can to prevent us from taking those common sense steps to break our dependence on this destructive fuel.
Education officials are hinting the Biden administration may further extend the freeze on federal student loan payments. It's been reported the White House instructed the companies that manage federal student loans to hold off on sending required notices to borrowers about their payments starting up. A federal appeals court panel has revived lawsuits seeking tuition and fee refunds from American University and George Washington University over closures of on-campus classes and activities in 2020 due to the pandemic. Supreme Court Court nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson was one of three judges who heard arguments in the cases. I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
I'm sitting here wondering if this matchbox will hold my dreams. The redhead in my arms go up in flames. Dissolve mighty regimes with her screams. Or so it seems. She dragged my face from the eye to my lip on the rough side of the striking strip to the port side of a sinking ship, staring at a compact mirror, the siren calling from another era. While you made faces and then blew kisses, drowned in a pool that hypnotized Narcissus. They say I have a perfect face for radio, and a trumpet for listening, a cheek to turn to you, an eye for glistening. Tear that tear from me. Hold it in your memory. Pull away the powder and the pain-painted dream of this and that disgrace. A silver band of marching souls. A button of brass, an epaulet of gold. That Lenten light. That slight fanfare that consoles. That trivial, sniveling rosary. That ring-a-ding rosemary. Condemned a man, alas. At last, at Requiem Mass. Sound much better than I look, like a hero in a book. Now there is too much at stake, but perhaps you mistook my mistake for the tip in the print you dusted for from the hand you forgot to shake. Tumble-down Dick said to King Oliver, I don't shrink down at the thought of you. Give the people back their ringlet prince, just like you ought to do. Journey far from here like Gulliver, to lands at the edge of everywhere that we have still to discover. Where there's a soul of a jackboot in a broken brace, poised above a human face, forever and ever. Just doesn't matter if I should deceive you or if I should flatter. If your bankroll gets thin while some kitty gets fatter, radio is everything. From the straight to the narrow, to the broadcast from within, radio is everything. Radio is everything.
Oh, yeah. It's that time.
the time when I say, hey, you're listening to DJ Patty Boom, host of Vinyl Freedom, every first and third Tuesdays, 12:10 to 2 p.m., live on the radio dial. Coming at you with a huge ask. My ask is that you, that's a ask, that you kick in some money to the station that you love right now. Don't be waiting for another minute, because you know what? Life is getting real crazy right now. But what you can invest in is something beautiful like this station. So many beautiful voices across the galaxy listening in to what we're doing. This is real. This is fun. This is cool. Don't you want to be a part of it? I certainly do, because I'm a sustaining listener. And I'm also a volunteer, because I care about what happens on the airwaves. And if you do, put your phone down. Put your phone down. Put your whatever is going down, down, and get up into the donation section of WGXC. Wow! WGXC. WGXC.org.
Gonna take money, a whole lot of spending money. Hi, this is Maria Manhattan from the Hudson Cafe here on WGXC, where original programming is the name of the game. If you're new to the Hudson Valley and want to feel more a part of this community, support community radio. Go to our website, WGXC.org, and click on Donate, or give us a call, 518-697-7400. Operators are standing by.
So tight it dams my blood, makes my head feel light. Well, hearts will start and hearts will stop, and the blood will flow until we dry.
Beautiful.